Welcome to an encounter with the Spirit, Word, and Prayer through the prolific apostolic and teaching ministry of Apostle Femi Lazarus, lead pastor of Sphere of Life Church Global. It is his vision to raise God's end time on.
God has not called you to prove you are the best. He has not. As a leader, you are a broker of gifts and talent.
So, brace up for an experience.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. Now I want us to ask God for insight and revelation knowledge. Even as we study together, let's ask for insight. My eyes of understanding, they are flooded with light. 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 Now don't pray the prayer quietly. Pray it like your life depends on it. Pray it like your life depends on it. Light. Illumination. Revelation knowledge. Light. Let there be light, Lord. Let there be light. Let there be light. Oh, yes. Thank you, Father. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Father, tonight we ask that the light of your word will shine in our hearts. I ask, O Lord, that you will illuminate the path of all my hearers. And as everyone listens, they will hear you. Thank you, blessed Father, in Jesus' mighty name. May we please put our hands together for Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may please be seated. Proverbs chapter number 17, verse 22. Proverbs chapter number 17, verse 22. How this Bible study will go, I don't know. But one thing I know is that we may have to get to some point, pause and pray. Is that okay? And breathe. Look at what the Bible says, that a merry heart, somebody say a merry heart, doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. So let's look at what Amplified Translation says. Amplified Translation says, a happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing, but a broken spirit dries up the what? Bones. A broken spirit dries up what? The bones. Broken spirit. Say loud and clear, I'm a very happy person. I am not a sadist. Look at what the Bible says in Proverbs 12, verse 25. Proverbs 12, 25 says, heaviness in the heart of a man makes it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. Let me read. Amplified, or let me read Good News. Is that okay? Good News Translation. I want to advise that you download as many Bible translations as possible in your devices. Is that okay? God is not anti-technology, provided we use technology to do what is right. Is that okay? To get as many renditions, particularly the Passion Translation. Now look at what the Bible says, Proverbs 12, verse 25. Good News Translation says, worry can rob you of happiness, but kind words will cheer you up. Okay? Somebody say, worry can rob you of happiness. But kind words will cheer you up. Yes. So it means that you can practically lose the sight of cheerfulness or the graciousness of your spirit because you are worried. And, I mean, many things can make a person worry. Maybe the consciousness that the time for something is passing. For a student that the deadline for the school fees is about to pass, you're going to be worried. Okay? Most times, what I'm trying to show you is that worrying has to do with timeline. What did I say? Timeline. Sometimes it could be while planning your life, you have set a time that by so and so time, this should have happened. But the Bible says our times are in his hands. Okay? Then he makes all things beautiful in their time. Ecclesiastes 3, 11 and 12. And in their season. So the things you have planned, he has time apportioned for them. So the Bible says anxiety leads to depression. And that's why we're encouraged to be anxious for nothing. Okay? Anxiety. It's real, though. Okay? It's real. I don't like to preach like one who fell from the clouds. Anxiety is real. When you are expecting certain things to happen and they are not happening, you'll be anxious, agitated. And when that is happening, you don't have joy. Okay? You don't have joy. You can't find it. You are sad. You are pained. Sometimes disturbed. I love the way God's Word Translation puts it. It says, a person's anxiety will weigh him down, but an encouraging word makes him joyful. And sometimes when people are anxious, they just want to be alone. When you ask them what they are doing, they say, I'm sorting my life. I'm going to show you another scripture. Look at what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 15, verse 13. Proverbs chapter number 15, verse 13 says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. So there's no such thing as people are asking you that. Don't let me say, sister, brother, why don't you smile? See, that's the way my face is. All the things that God made, he said they are good. And this face is confusing us. Do you understand what I'm saying? Say, I'm like that. You are not like that. You are worried. Look at the story we read about Elijah, and we're studying Jezebel. When Jezebel said, I will cut off your head, what did Elijah say? He said, what am I better than my forefathers? He said, kill me now. Let me die. What did God do? He gave him food. We underrate the power of good food. Calm down. I honestly, I don't know how sad. Some guys have been cooking beans for the past 2 weeks. You think they are saying awo? You know awo? Okay, don't know awo. We boiling ring. They are saving power. Sometimes we underrate the power, the ability to just celebrate your small wins. The people who can't enjoy their money because they said they want more, if they die, people will spend that money. My God. You saved from January to December last year. You were lean. And we are not against saving, but you have started again. Every time you take yourself to a boutique to buy a simple shirt, you feel guilty. But when you buy a book, you're happy. For your mind, you are serious. You wonder why you read that book, you still have no impact. You can bring it up. I used to be like that. When I go to buy books, I'll be so happy. If I want to buy a shirt, it's more than 1.5. Say, count me out of it. If you ask me, that's how to be holy. You will read all the book. You can't bless anybody. Tell your neighbor, celebrate yourself. Tell another neighbor, celebrate yourself. Because if you don't learn to do it, when people do it, you think they are doing you a favor. Celebrate yourself. When we say you are important, it's not a news. Are you not? It's not news. It should not be. Say, you look good. Say, really? So you didn't think you look good. And this is the reason why you give people permission to hurt you. Because you have no conclusion until they make theirs. Say it loud and clear, I'm important. Look at the way they are saying it. Okay, clap for yourself. Amen. If I say clap for Apostle now, you did better. But this is you. With all the things you have survived, don't you think you deserve a round of applause? Yes. Abba. Very important too. Amen. The things you have gone through, we don't know how you survived it. But we are glad you are here. And you deserve some accolades. They're going somewhere. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Let's say thank you, Jesus. Let's say it again. Look at it. That same Proverbs 15, verse 13. Good News Translation. It says, when people are happy, they smile. But when they are sad, they look depressed. There are people I've never seen smile once. Akapachai, akapachai, akapachai. You know, one time I was serving. So they said one of our GGG prayer. If you never stay in family house, you will not understand that language. I was the prayer. So there was the GGG prayer. Was getting married. So as the prayer, I qualified to be among the men in suit. Because the men in suit was full of the prayers. I've never in my life been in such wedding before. Is it chief groomsmaid now? The man that... Best man. The best man. I've never seen that kind of best man. Come. This is the groom joining together in holy matrimony. Where should the best man be? Either by his side holding the mic or here, right? The best man was like this. Shaka baka. Hey! Was looking like a my life left me. I was curious. Did they say that it was the assembly of witches that was gathering? Is it strong face that makes you on fire? Like, once you are smiling, you are not, your fire is reduced. Africans. I'm telling you, the groom has not eaten for like how many days now? We were supporting him so he doesn't pass out. And once he passes out, no medical knowledge to resuscitate him, they will say it's an attack. People have died. They fasted themselves to death without understanding. Say it's an attack. How the guy take propose, I don't know. Please be seated. And there are brothers in church that sisters bounce no. Because they look like the future they are running away from. They look like the future God didn't promise them. It looks like when you marry this guy, you'll be sad. Meanwhile, the guy is a happy person. When he's within his friends, very cheerful. But in order to look holy, to impress the sister, lose the virtue of joy. Your sadness and your stone cold look impresses nobody. The first time I asked the sister out, that was my mistake. I started talking to her from 12:30 after service. I said, bring a chair, I want to talk to you. That was how I said, bring a chair inside. Come and meet me, I want to talk to you. She came thinking, oh, mentorship, mentorship. I spoke till 5:30 something. She said, I still don't understand what you're saying. I said, with over 17 Bible passages I've opened, what was I meaning when I said that one will chase 1,000, two will chase? We ask them out scripturally and we get no. I'm sorry, sir, you're my pastor, but no. And the girl will still come to church. Sit down and then painfully come follow another brother again. The one you are mentoring. But that is happier than you. If you see my old pictures, if I stand here, we have been doing distance, what do they call it now? We have been doing social distance before COVID. If we stand like this, and a sister wants to stand, the next tiles, leave this one in between for the Holy Spirit. What do you mean? Who are you? My friend, stand there. All the sister we want to ask out is Sister Gloria, Sister Jane. How do you want to ask a girl out who are saying sister? Ta, liar. Greet a holy brother beside us. Say hello, holy brother. Being a happy person does not make you less spiritual. Okay? I said it doesn't make you less spiritual. Tell your neighbor, rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. Say rejoice in the Lord. We used to think that it is oversize that qualifies you for heaven. The shirt must be bigger. The trouser, big. If it's slim fit, you are going to hell fire. What do you mean? Now I'm ashamed of many of those pictures. And I see that. I see my wife. I see my father. Is this not you? I say, come on, come on. The problem would have been to the world right now. And there are people who are still trying to reorientate. They've not gotten it. They are still suspecting us. Now, this pastor is always wearing kind of mic now. Look at kind of mic you're wearing. Is that what Jesus was doing these days? When people are not, anything can provoke people. Somebody just sit down and trust you. That pastor, he cracks joke too much. Okay, let me tell you the ones that will make you cry. That's what you came to church to do, to cry. Let's go to the hospital. Somebody just died, so can cry very well. Weep with those that weep. Rejoice if you want to. Anywhere there's no joy, there'll be pretense. Oh, yes. Now let me tell you things. Pretense. I'm going somewhere. Look at what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 18, verse 14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? So the characteristics of a strong spirit is joy. I'm going to get there properly tonight. That's one of the characteristics of a very healthy spirit. Joy. That's one of the ways you know a believer who is revived. They are joyful. They are joyful. That's why you look at Psalm 51. That's where you pick your popular songs from. When David was crying to the Lord, it says, cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. Take not your right spirit from within me, but restore to me the joy of my salvation. Meaning that one of the things that shows you like you are in God's presence is that you have that joy. You have that joy. I see joy as bulletproof. Because the world is full of wounded people and they will try to break you. Oh, yes. You have that joy. So when you have a spirit that is healthy, the Bible says that spirit will sustain you. When there's infirmity, the spirit of a man can carry him. You know, one of the things we're going to have to do is that I'm going to have like some 3 weeks world conference. And I was teaching those who pray together every morning about how really to confess God's word. I'm not here on that platform. Let me show you something while I was teaching that. Yeah. How really? Because many people don't know how to do it. And that's why we need teachers. That's why we need teachers. There is a way you will be taught and your spirit will enter its full potentials, that you will discover that your spirit has the ability to fight foreign agencies, can fight sicknesses. It can. And one of the things the devil wants to do to weaken that spirit is to give you suggestions that, do you know you can be sick? Do you know you can die young? Each time you embrace it in fear, you weaken the capacity of your spirit to sustain your infirmities. Each time he tries to postulate to you that, do you know the economy is so bad and you are going to suffer? Yeah, things, everything is just so bad right now. Things are just, no. Say loud and clear, not me. Say it again, not me. See, it is not enough to say, I don't live by the economy of this world. After you have finished saying that, you will go home and suffer. You have to understand there's a back end. That's why people are thinking we're a joke. Because we confess, and imagine somebody going to the house and saying, I'm a success. I cannot fail. I don't fail in this world. I'm not broke. I'm not this. I'm not that. And after you are done saying that, you now tell your Muslim roommate, oh boy, man, I see 500 naira. The guy will look at you and say, you're a clown. When we get it right, we become enviable. There's a way to get it right. We're going to get there. Amen? We're going to what? We will teach till we get to the point that no member of this church can fall sick. By the word. We are not saying the devil will not try to bring it. But we are saying your spirit can bear your infirmities. It can. It can. Amen. Now look at this. Our world largely is full of broken people. Broken people carrying different baggages. And they know what they are carrying. You know what you are carrying. You know what you are dealing with. And somehow, and it is wise for it to be so, that our default response when people ask, how are you, is fine, even when you are not fine. Don't forget I said it is wise for it to be so. Because what is more painful is to open up to somebody who can't bear you. So, people have to talk in the pain and put on a front. You see that now. And somebody's dying, but yet still making others strong. People are carrying baggages. People are carrying different loads. Fears. Pain. Battle with forgiveness and unforgiveness. Trying to understand and figure out their ways out of life. Trying to see how to get things done. With questions that they probably have not found answers to. Questions like, will this story change? Will this health condition go away? Will I still catch up? Those dreams, will they still come to pass or they are just a mirage? This one lifetime, will it pay off? These are questions people have. Sometimes when we say rejoice in church, that word, while people try to express, understand that it is not an, it is just an expression. It is not a sign that joy has come. Rejoice, everyone! Oh, glory! It's not a sign. When people have finished shouting glory, they will say, let's go back to where we were. So, shouting, jumping, dancing, they are supposed to be expressions of joy, but they are not proofs. Are they expressions of a joyful person? Yes, but they are still not a proof that the person is joyful. Let me explain. For instance, if a man should keep quiet or should be gentle, the Bible said that he will be supposed to be wise. But is it always true? No, but it looks like it. Somebody can finish dancing and go back home and commit suicide. In fact, in most cases of suicide, the people still make others happy. Smile with them, laugh with them, give them, and they will go back home and end it all. So expressions are not enough. It has to be deep. Is that okay? Externalities, expressing these things on the surface, they are not enough. In fact, I prefer sometimes that we can read someone's mood and know that you are not fine than for the person to be smiling and we are not aware the fellow is dying. Yes, sir. This is personal. You know what you are carrying. You know the fears, the cares of your heart. And sometimes our messages may not touch it. You can go for meetings and hope that they will touch the issue and nobody is touching it. So what's going to happen? Seated here with different questions. I remember when I was POP, personal parade, NYSC. Me, God had already spoken to me that after service, pack your bag, go back to where we stopped. So I knew my fate. But for the first time, I stood in the hall and I saw coppers that used to be vibrant. That used to gist and joke with each other. That day I saw them with a bit more calm. And I knew that there was fear in the room. Some had homes to go back to, some don't. Some girls probably will have to go and score to some boys. And she knows that it's better than going back home to where they will remind her of the pain. Some people prefer to be with their abusive roommate because their families are more abusive. And they will abuse them and they can't leave. So I saw in the room fears, questions. Some are more opportune than the other. Some have uncles that promise you will get a job. Some have aunties that promise just come to Abuja. And it doesn't matter how vibrant a person is, once there is uncertainty, the joy will not be full. So we all are seated here with different realities. Some probably don't know what it means to be in your shoes. They can pick their phone now and call home and say, I'm coming for the next 2 weeks. Somebody somewhere may not know what that means. May never have the opportunity. And the one who has the opportunity is still complaining. Have you sat with people who come to table their matter and you were looking at them that if I have this your problem, I will do Thanksgiving. But the Bible says in all things we are more than conquerors. I said in all things we are more than conquerors. Not in good things only. Not in pleasant things only. In all things. In all things. In all things. Say it again, I'm more than conqueror. In all things. I rejoice in all situations. I refuse to be sad. I refuse to be discouraged. I refuse to be anxious. I refuse to be scared. I'm joyful in the name of Jesus. Do you know that you can make confessions about joy till you see it? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm joyful. I'm not sad. In the name of Jesus. I have a good spirit. I have cheerful countenance. I'm not down. You keep saying it till there's an outbreak of it. Amen. I said amen. Look at the story of David and Uriah. That's still one of the stories that doesn't seem to make human sense to me. I was looking at the guy, David, the one that God said is a man after my heart. How did he get the ability to kill Uriah? How? How did he ever get to that point? Where he could kill a man and move on like nothing had happened? Because he too went through distress. And the problem he faced from his master made him a bad master also. The things that Saul passed him through, all the years that Saul was hunting him, made it look normal. If you don't deal with the pain people serve you, you will serve it also. And you serve without knowing that you have become what you hate. You have become what you spent the rest of your life fighting. You know, I'd love to share a story with you. The story of Nelson Mandela and his wife, Winnie Mandela. You know, Winnie was abused several times over, was imprisoned. They molested her. She was only married for a couple of years before Mandela was taken to the prison. By the time Nelson Mandela was held with a few of his friends, she had changed. Now she was not just agitating for freedom. She wanted vengeance. Because of the pain that served her. Took her from her children. Locked her up in cell. Many times they will come, raid their homes, and demoralize her. And she became bitter. She couldn't recover from it. Right when they were together after the imprisonment, she will partner with some guys. They will go and burn police station. She couldn't heal. There comes a time that people who have been recovering find it difficult to heal any longer. And Mandela had to separate from her for a while. In fact, not for a while. They couldn't come back together. Because the woman he left is not the woman he met. Pain changed people. Sometimes you just want to tell people, you are not a bitter person. It's pain that is changing you. You're not bitter. Please be seated. You are not cold. If you heal from that pain, you are sweet. You are a sweet-spirited person. Some people will be making boasts. I know myself. Me, I'll be witch. What a way to boast. Newsflash, you are not a witch. Okay? Pain changes people. It numbs them. Numbs the part of them that can respond with love. David wrote the letter, kill him, and he moved on. That was not the guy God found. Something had happened to his heart. The experience under Saul had changed it. That's why when you hear an average Nigerian youth says, me too, when we see power, we'll go chop the money. You were not born like that. You felt you have been cheated. The only way out is to cheat others. That's why we have the cycle of pain. People start serving to others what was served to them that they cried about. It's a cycle, and someone needs to break it, or else it will stop. Sometimes somebody can even be married, and the marriage is bad because the husband, when he looks at the wife, despite the fact that the woman is good, he keeps remembering the ex that left him. And he concludes, don't trust women. Somebody's spouse can suffer for what the ex did. And sometimes people marry and say, I do, but they've not been able to get the pain of the ex out of their mind. Sometimes it's the pain of the father. When the guy talks, he sees her father and she stands to him. She used sledgehammer to kill an aunt. You wonder why you're overreacting? Pain. Some men don't trust their wives, and we have made it normal that if you want to earn the respect of your woman, she must not know what to earn. And wrong voices are the loudest, and there are always many. And because those who know better are not talking, it becomes the education of a community, of a generation. You can just hear a statement in passing, and you have been educated in that direction. You want to have the respect of your woman, she must never know what is your account. You have two who have not become one. And there's a cycle of pain. That's why you must heal before you deal. So you don't come with the baggage of the past and then bleed on the one who didn't hurt you. Your wife is not your ex. Your husband is not your ex. Your husband is not your dad. Your wife is not your stepmother. They may talk alike, but they are not the same. And the way this thing is that usually the fellow you have not healed from, your spouse will have something that looks like that person. Either walks like the person, talk like the person, laugh like the person, or call your name like the person. Shola! Say, hey, I don't like when you call me that name. Why are you reacting? It's not for the name. It's for the last person that called you like that. There are people that God help you. Say, hey, I like you. She say, what's your name? Say, my name is Femi. Fair what? All the Femis in this life, they are cheats. Femi, ah, run. That's how you miss your husband. I don't know what Femi did. Somebody went to post online, I would have really been following your message, but Pastor Femi Lazar said the Femi there makes ow. God help you. Your future husband and your ex, they have the same name. Joseph. Julius Agawa. The same son name. They say, if they say dance or marry your ex, which one do you say? I will dance. I think I saw a video somewhere, very strange video, asking the guy about his ex, what would they have loved to say to the ex? He said, well, I'm sorry, I didn't treat you well. I loved you. I was not able to tell you this. He didn't know that the ex was actually in our dining room listening. And he actually meant it. And the girl felt emotional, like, really? He never said all this. So the girl came out, came to hug him. Then he told the organizer, wrong ex. Wrong ex. He has to start planning breakup again. End the cycle of pain. End it. I don't know if I've shared my story with you. So, and probably many people may find themselves in this situation. You may go through breakup and celebrate the fact that you didn't feel it. You are not healthy. Can I come again? You may go through breakup and celebrate the fact that you never felt it. You are not healthy. It means you don't know how to love. It means you were never vulnerable. You never gave your all. That's what it means. You were never in it. The fellow was dating himself or herself. People, when they move on sharp. Following day, they are already gisting. Nikkei, how you there? They were never healthy. That's the truth. So I discovered I used to be like that. In fact, there was one girl like that. You know, say, many people, they watch us. If you just get text message after preaching, say, well done. So you were talking about me. I'll talk. This girl, every time I say, let's talk. So you say, look at, I just discovered something about the cadence of the cherubim. Cheer what? The cherubic beings, you know, the Bible described them. I say, yes. Okay, let's assume this is our conversation for today. Tomorrow, this, what's your best food? Let's just talk about some material things. Say, you know, we are not of this world. Sister, calm down. In heaven, we are all married to Jesus. Now you are one married. Let's talk. After a while, I saw that our conversation was cherubim, seraphim. So one day I asked her, what's your love language? Said prayer. So I said, I love to pray too. It's not a bad idea. One time I opted, I said, let's pray. So we went to pray. If I raise one prayer point, she'll say, oh, yes. You see, this, that's how I saw 2 hours. We're there. So I called my friends. Anytime you see me and this sister talking, interrupt us. I give you the permission. Carry your chair. Come and sit down there. One time, I was sick. My friend picked the phone. Say, hey, how you doing? Where pastor is sick? Say, really? Say, I'm coming. At least, now that I'm sick, I'm going to eat some noodles, some egg, some... Because I was actually broke. That's on. Yeah. So I laid down. She came in, looked at me from there. I looked at her. I was going to happen here. She came, looked at me. Shaka-paka-paka. I was saying, Temi Banivai. Looked at me, look. Shaka-paka-paka. She got all those steps right. Those healing steps.
Akoba.
And she looked at me. She said, look into my eyes. Deliver me, Lord, Mother, Queen Mother. Then she came, touched my chest. I said, receive healing now. I said, amen. I mean, it's good. But that was not what I needed. Honestly, Indomie and tea, I would have been fine. So she held my hands and said, get up now. Get up. You can do it. Take those steps. Take those steps. Start doing what you couldn't do before. So I said, I'm fine now. I'm fine. I'm fine. As I was taking those steps, I was saying in my heart, I'm done. I'm done with this relationship. To hell with this nonsense. After that experience, I stopped picking her calls. She called me, I said, I'm busy. I'll call you back. Then about a few days later, I said, I need to talk to you. That's the sweetest breakup in my life. All breakups should be like that. I did not know that that thing was deep. I said, I'm done with this relationship. He said, Marco, see Friday. The Lord has been speaking to me. I like it. I like it. It's a good way to live. Good radiance. Bye-bye. I'm done. I was going back home. I was singing, oh, praise the Lord. I never felt one iota. I've never missed the sister. But later I found out I was never in it. I was never in it. Many people are, they are not cool. They are just never in that relationship. They've not entered. Sometimes they were trying to enter, but the person showed them some signs. They stayed outside. People can be outside the relationship for 3 years. They've not entered. They will gist to the person, tell the person what the person wants to hear. But when they look at the person, there's no connection. You can make a doctrine out of it and say, marriage is not by love. I can tell you, any marriage that you do by agape is prison. Agape, sister in the Lord. When I look at you, the only thing I feel like doing is we should pray. Abby? Say you don't have to feel anything for the person. Once God speaks, you move. Abby? We will counsel you later. It won't be long. I promise you. Less than 6 months, you'll be back. There must be. Don't let religion bamboozle you. Don't let it. If the person who is counseling